Okie dokie. It's the last session of the day for the first day. It was actually a day yesterday for pre-conf, right? Anyway, for the first conference day of Tech Days Netherlands. I'm happy to have you guys here with me today. My time hasn't started. Thank you. Now my time has started. Awesome. We probably won't go all the way until into the tile set for this session because this is preview stuff, and I guess you won't mind if we don't cover, you know, go into the last second of the last minute. Stop maybe a little bit sooner. The thing is, though, that you're most welcome to stay and talk to me about Azure afterwards if you want to hang around. But when I'm done, I'm going to release you and you can go on your merry way and probably have some beers tonight and so forth, right? Good? Sound good? I have no clue what this slide says. Something.
Fill out the evals.
Evals and things, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, do that. That's good. You guys, you brave people, are awesome, by the way. I know that the Netherlands are really, really rocking it on the cloud, and I applaud you guys, because I'm from Sweden, and in Sweden, we're doing cloud, but you know, we're not doing cloud like you guys. You guys totally rock it, and you understand that being in the cloud right now is probably the best place in the world to be, ever. I love it there, because I'm a Microsoft Windows Azure pilot, most valuable pilot. I just recently started my own company to do basically expert consulting on the cloud. So, I mean, I'm obviously mostly up in Sweden and Scandinavia, but if any of you ever need any help, you know where to find me. And please tweet something nice with the hashtag for the conference and my Twitter handle, if you like. Thanks. So we did the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp among the Windows Azure MVP and some other people, and some people in this room probably participated, right? Yeah, there are a few. Yeah, there are a few in the room who participated because you guys had five? How many locations?
Five
locations in the Netherlands. That was mind-blowing to me. That was awesome. We actually managed to scrape together three in Sweden, but I was in Tokyo for the event, so you know they had one over there, and that was fun too. The hugeness of this thing was beyond compare, and we're going to do it again. So the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp, for those who do not know, and for those who are watching the recording and do not know, is a one-day training event. Sorry, one-day training event for Azure that basically happens everywhere in the world on the same day. So it starts over in the Auckland time zones and just moves across all the time zones and ends up in Honolulu. And it was at 139 locations worldwide, and it was amazing. And you absolutely have to participate next year. Just saying. Good stuff. It was good stuff, right?
Very good.
It was very good, yeah. But we're here to talk about web jobs, and I'm going to get to that so that we all can go and have beers. But before we have beers, we're going to have some real fun, and then we're going to have some silly fun afterwards, right? So real fun now with web jobs. Question first, obviously, is what is a web job? What do we do with it? A web job is a background process that works in the background of your website. I have water here. Nice. Looks like vodka. Can I say vodka on a Microsoft recording? It's just water. All right. So, whenever you have a website, you probably want to run something in the background. It happens all the time. And some of the properties of these web jobs is that they're background processing on the websites that you're already running. And it's kind of easy to write that code yourself if you wanted to, but it's nicer if somebody else does it for you, and it's really easy to use. And they always run. Whenever you run your website, you run your backend worker job. The classic example is actually one that I'm going to show you today, is where you post something from your web, do a form post on the front end, and you're supposed to get an email reply. Rather than sending that email, it takes a long time to wait for the page to post. You send the email off, the email sending process back over to the back end and runs that in the background for you. And I'm going to look at, there's not a lot of monitoring and diagnostics that I can show you because right now I'm not seeing it in the portal and the dashboard for the web jobs. But I'm going to show you later the stuff that I can show you. And there's going to be more to come because web jobs is in preview right now. And I'll show you in the portal where they belong, the web jobs. So anyway, the basic pattern, this doesn't look very basic. This is actually the queue-based load leveling pattern right there, where you have some tasks that need to run. Maybe your front-end website wants to do something. You submit a form or what have you. You send off a message to a queue, and in the background, somebody else is processing this. And I also like to call that the background worker pattern. Something is working in the background behind your front-end website, or you're doing some kind of job. It doesn't have to be a front-end website, but it's some kind of batch processing that you'd like to do. So I'm going to show you a demo. This is actually from, so right now I'm involved in doing a road trip with Swedish Microsoft, of all things. And I'm actually going to go to the top page. Oh. There. And this is a site in Swedish that we're using for this this road trip. The site shows you the ability to make orders of these nice pastries that you see before you in Swedish. But the functionality is what we need to focus on here today. And it's the fact that you can make an order. And I have a real email account set up there because that does actually send a real email. There. We just make an order. You will see that it takes a little time, takes a bit of time for the order to go through. And this long time that it took is not a very nice user experience. That's not what we want. We want to move away from that and have a more rapid user experience. So I'll show you the code that does the order processing. It's actually quite, how big is that? Make it a little bit bigger, right? Something like that? Is that good? Okay. So it's very easy. I get a form post, and this site, to be fair, this site is written with old technology. We scaled back to old technology because half of the day of our roadshow is how to modernize an old website, and the other half is how to put it on Azure. So this is old school stuff. We're using angle brackets, we're using bracket percentage and stuff like that. So no code behind pages or any fancy stuff like that. No Razor, no anything. This is old school ASPX, and a lot of people have sites like this. So anyway, in our site, we get a form post with the email and the shipping. And what we do is that we create ourselves a little ordering service here and submit that to the database. So there's a SQL database involved. Also, if the order saving is successful, we send out an email. And this is where the email is sent out, and this is where it takes some time. I've actually put a little bit of a thread sleep in the submit here as well to make it go really slow and painful and make it just annoying to view for you guys and for anybody to use. So when I run it, obviously it takes a long time because it's doing several things in sync that each one of them takes some time. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to take away that part of it. That implementation is now gone. And instead, I'm going to put in my little ordering service here and with an Azure version of it. And there's only one simple thing that I do here, not two things. I don't submit it to the database and send an email here. I just send a message off to a queue. That's what this code does. Sends a message off to a queue. I'm probably going to do an order here with that as well. We'll do some chocolate cake. And so test 2 from The Hague. There we go. And now it's much faster because I didn't process anything on the front end. I sent it off on a queue to the back end. And the back end is going to be our process for our web job eventually, right? So if I look at the code here for submitting the order, it's really quite simple. I take the order object, I turn it into a string, I create myself a little cloud queue message, and I put it on a queue. So here, this code, I'm purposefully going quite fast by it. Just want to, by a show of hand, how many people have used the Azure Storage library? Well, about half. So half of the room have never done this. Or maybe you've used some queuing technology, a service bus or something like that, but you haven't used this stuff. And that's sort of not the point here for this presentation. But in general, it's about getting yourself a connection string to Azure Storage and connecting yourself to a cloud storage account, getting a reference to a queue, and sending a message to that queue, a cloud queue message into the queue. So basically, I'm serializing the object, the data that I have, and I put it on a message on a queue. Where does it end up then? Well, it ends up here. This is Azure Management Studio, which you can use to look into Azure Storage. And in there, I have a queue which now contains two messages. And I can zoom in on these guys and see that they indeed contain what appears to be a JSON serialized message containing the data that I want to send. All right? So far, so good. Where actually no orders are now being processed, right? They're just stuck there on the queue. Nothing is happening. And we're going to see about getting them off the queue. I'm going to get to that real soon. But first, I'm going to go sort of put web jobs into context. Because back in the olden days, basically, or you can actually still do this, you didn't have any web jobs in Azure. So instead, you had a Windows Azure Cloud Service worker role. And I'm using the word Windows here because, you know, back in the olden days, it was called Windows Azure, not Microsoft Azure, which is the case today. But you can still use these guys. This is a this is effectively a server, a virtual machine, running your process with your code in it. And it's great for doing background processing. It's awesome for doing big batch jobs of things. But it was sort of a little bit complex. It was a big step to get into doing background processing on Azure to be able to understand how these guys work. I actually have one right here. I call it the vanilla cloud service. It's just file new cloud service, just as it is out of the box. You get this cloud service project, which is sort of a way to package up your stuff for deployment when you want to deploy something to the cloud. So you have to understand what a cloud service is and how that works. There's also a worker project, which is actually referenced in here, a worker project, which is a whole other thing. It's a cloud service project with a worker role, and this worker role has a bunch of code in it that you need to understand. There's a role entry point class that you seem to need to derive from. You can run this guy. It apparently will get your messages off the queue. Okay. And so there's a lot of stuff in here. There's a while loop. And why is this loop not exiting? It's a while true thing. So really, there's a lot of stuff in here. But don't get me wrong. I love these guys. They are awesome when you need to have something that runs for a long time and runs a lot of work all the time and really pounds your processes, your CPU hard, and just use them when they are appropriate. Let me tell you about appropriate. On the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp Day, we ran about, I'm not sure yet, thousands and thousands of these in the big lab that we ran. We ran into some problems with it, definitely, because of congestion in messaging. Not using these queues that I'm talking about now, but we used a service bus and we had a lot of messages coming in. But the workers were working away. It was only that they had difficulties communicating to the outside world what they were doing. But they were working, and we ran thousands of these. I'm not sure, but there could have been as much as 26,000 of these guys working during that day. Now, if you have a lot of work to do, which we had. We had some research work that we were processing during that day. We were processing diabetes research, and we had a lot of work to do, so we had a lot of instances running. And that's a great scenario for using these cloud services, but they're not exactly easy to use. You have to understand some stuff. You need to be sort of involved in Azure big time to be able to use these guys. And therefore, we're actually not going to spend any more time on these for this session. I just wanted to put the stuff into context. And another bit of context is, what about rolling your own version of this? What about creating, you have a website, right? And it's not very difficult to do something with threads or tasks or something like that in the background. Use a queue, and you know, it's kind of easy to do. It's you can use a persistent queue like Azure Storage Queues, for instance, and just write your messages there and process them on a thread and you know stuff like that. It's all good. I've written you know some of those, and you could probably get a decent one going in about 200 lines of code. So why do you need a simple batch? Why do you need a product for it? Well, it's always nicer if somebody else takes care of all the other stuff that goes around us. It's not going to be just 200 lines of code, right? It's going to be error handling and you know what happens then and does can we restart it? Is it running? Is it actually fresh? Do we need to restart it? And then also a lot of diagnostics and other stuff that you know, sort of comes with the web jobs. That's stuff that you might want to have. So it doesn't really become 200 lines of code. It becomes more than that, and it becomes something that you need to maintain, something that you need to take care of. And you know, you got to make all that stuff just work. So it's not simple either, is it? Therefore, Microsoft created this project, which was codenamed Simple Batch. Initially, it was a very simple thing. The intent here is to focus on simplicity. Take away all of that other messiness and just create something that runs quickly and easily, effortlessly. So they created Simple Batch, and I was one of the MVPs involved in the early stages of this, giving feedback on what we would think the shape of this would be most efficient to have and so forth. And now, after a long time, after about a year, this thing has become the public preview of that which is known as the web jobs. So, let's create ourselves a web job. I have another Visual Studio here, where I just immediately, just before the session, I said, file new console application. This is just a brand new empty console application. And I'm going to turn this guy, this thing, into a web job. I'm actually going to copy, just to make sure that I get the name right, I'm going to copy out the name of the NuGet package we need. It's just one NuGet package that we need. I'm going to go and copy it to make sure I get it right, because otherwise, who knows? So in this empty console app, I'm going to go install package, and then it has to be also include pre-release, because this is a pre-release NuGet package that we need. And I'm going to get that into our console app, and we're going to create ourselves a web job. A web job looks like this. Sorry? Oh, I can zoom on it. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Please remind me. I need to do that on every window, unless I actually up the font, which I could do, but I didn't do that. So you create yourself a job host to host your web job, and then you say job.run and block. That's it. That is a web job. This is a very uninteresting web job because it's not going to do anything at all. There's no method to call. There's no action going on in here. It is simply a host in which I can have web jobs. So the second step is to... I need to actually configure this with connection strings as well. Maybe I should do that now. That's another copy-paste action for me because it's connection strings. I'm going to copy them over from the other already working version. I'm going to paste them in here. Two connection strings that you need. These are standard names, Azure Jobs Runtime and Azure Jobs Data. That's going to be a place where you can have your queues and your data associated with these web jobs. You can connect this, obviously, to any Azure storage account. And I will show you the storage account side of things real soon. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Windows Azure right now and create ourselves so that you know that there's nothing fishy going on here at all. Logging into Azure. I'm going to create myself a storage account for just for this session. So let's do Tech Days Netherlands web jobs. That's probably going to be available, right? And I'm going to put it in West Europe. That's where we're at. And create. So I'm creating myself a new storage account. Didn't exist before, so you will I'll need to go and update these connection strings real quick. That's a really quick cut and paste job here. We'll see how fast the internet is. Yeah, there we go. So that one. Get our connection string in there. Connection string, that one. Copy. So new storage account, no magic. Connection string. So there. All right. So now that we have the connection strings in place, we need a web job. This could be it. It's not it yet, because we need some parameters for this web job. It's a static method that we decorate with some parameters. So let's make a queue input. Make it a string. Testing. Let's call it testing. Now, this is a web job. I can run this, and it'll work, which is really strange. But it won't do very much. So we're actually going to send out an output as well, just to show that you can do that too. So let's make that a blob output to a path. Let's make it hello, hey, and then output text. And we need to make it an out string result or message. Message, all right. Of course, then we need, because it's an out parameter, we need to assign message the incoming testing string. Now, this is really weird. It looks kind of magical. I'll make a breakpoint there, or a new line there. Looks a little bit weird, right? So I say that I have a queue somewhere, somehow, some kind of queue, in some kind of storage, that will provide me with input data. And I will take the incoming message, and I will write it to a blob somewhere in some storage. Really strange, right? Now, this is the simplest possible way that you could do this, absolutely the simplest possible way that you could do this. And if I hit F5 on this guy, it's going to actually start the web job host, and it's going to say that I'm ready to to receive messages in this web job. And it's showing that by writing out dot, 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 dot continuously, saying that the host is ready. But we need to get our message in there. And therefore, we also need to actually connect our storage account there with this connection string. So I'm opening up this storage account. So it's right there. And sometimes this does not really update extremely well, because if I do this, it might be that the names of these things are not. If it doesn't work, I'll be explicit about the name. Well, seems I don't know that that's gonna work. We'll try. Otherwise, I'm gonna be explicit about the queue name, and we'll see that works. Did I mention that this is preview? Yeah. Hello, guys. Awesome. So if this now works, I'm going to get a breakpoint right in here in my code. And if it doesn't, we'll immediately see it. And it actually does work. OK? So the input message is, hello, guys, awesome. And if I hit F5, the output has been processed as well, and the blob has been written. So now I can go back to, it's probably just the GUI of this thing that didn't, I don't know where the queue maybe just got pinged when it got created. Probably that's the implementation of it. That it's trying to find the queue, and if it doesn't exist, it just says, oh, fine, I'm good. I created the queue, and then I inputted a message in the queue, and then it finds it. So that's kind of cool that it does it that way. So we'll go and refresh there. And all of a sudden, we have a container of blobs there called Hello, hey. And if I open that up, you see, hello, guys. Awesome. OK? So literally, in I don't know how many lines of code, almost no lines of code, I have a queue processor. That's kind of awesome. So if we need to go back to, which we probably do, the other example and execute that as well. Obviously, I have a web job for that, the Swedish Cake Factory example site has a web job, and it does the stuff that I used to do in the front end. I'll set a breakpoint here, and I'll launch this guy, this web job. Now, remember, we put two orders in the queue. They're not processed yet. So if everything is correct, I should immediately get an order in here, populated with the data we put in there. And that's what we get. Immediately, we get a breakpoint on the order. I just fire up the web job. It immediately goes out and sees, oh, is there a queue there called tart orders? Yes, there is. Well, is there a message on it? Yes, there is. And immediately gets the message and gets it to me. Do you notice something else? The input. What type is my parameter? It's not a string. It's not a string message. This is a complex structure. This is a class called orders. So simple batch also assumes that I'm using JSON and tries to map the deserialize the message content of my message into an object of the type that is the type of the parameter. Automatically. I think that's kind of hot. I don't know about you guys, but that really gets me going. So I will now, actually, probably this is the firewall rule thing with the SQL connection. So I'm good with ending that demo here. You actually need to open up the firewall for everything. I might actually be able to configure this guy to run. Let's see. Yeah, exactly. So the front end website I had configured to run on my local SQL. I'm going to take that local SQL connection and put it over on the other side there as well. I just realized that I didn't do that. So I was trying to communicate with a SQL database in Azure. And that's not part of this session at all, so I will just continue down the line. but you need to open up the firewall ports to allow this IP address to connect to the SQL Hasher database. And SQL Scott is sitting in the audience, and he knows all about that. Curious, huh, that you're sitting here, sir. Well, anyway, so if I run it again now, it's definitely going to work because the database is now local on my box. It's a SQL Express database running on my box here. So, but actually, that speaks to, interestingly enough, speaks to an issue with. It's not an issue. It's a feature. It's a fact. It's a consequence of simplicity. To be clear, it's not working still. I didn't finish processing the message. I got a message off the queue, but I couldn't connect to my database because I hadn't configured it properly, so everything just blew apart. My web job was running, it was receiving messages, but nothing happened to them. So what's going to happen to the messages if I don't process them? What happens? Anybody? So what? They stay in the queue. They do stay in the queue. So They will stay in the queue until I finish my web job method. Let me show you the this. When I exit this function, the queue message will be erased from the queue. So it's only leased off the queue. That's a feature of Azure Storage. So if you put messages on the queue, you get them, you process them and do whatever you like, and then you have to go back to the queue and say, now delete the message. While you have the message, it's invisible on the queue. Nobody else can get that message. But if you don't say, I want to commit this message, now it's deleted, now it's gone, then it'll actually pop back up on the queue. There's a default time there. We can actually set how long this invisible delay should be. So the messages will be processed. They won't disappear. So you will get the same message again at a later time. Now, for those of you who use Azure, do you like the simplicity of this process? That you can write a simple batch like this and a web job, a simple batch, and just get it processing your queue? What's the consequence? Did anybody think of that? You get a message, and then you say, I'm done with the message, and just assume that it's being deleted off the queue and so forth. Right? I'm reaching a little bit here. But The thing here is that you don't actually hold on to the cloud queue message on your end, because this code knows nothing of Azure Storage. Of course, it has a reference to Azure Storage, but you're not coding against it. You don't have a cloud queue message. You have the message body only. So if your message has been dequeued 1,000 times and it's kind of poisonous, it doesn't, you know, it breaks somehow. You can't create, the order is already being created or something like that. That your code doesn't handle makes your web job throw an exception. It's going to continuously do that, and it's going to go back, and whenever that message reappears on the queue, it's going to dequeue it again and do the same thing over again. And it's going to break again. It's going to be the definition of insanity going here. We're going to have to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, and we're not going to get one. So at this time, web jobs, in my opinion, being sort of, you know, I'm an Azure MVP. I've been doing Azure for a long time. In my opinion, obviously, this is too simple. Overly complex, overly simple. Where are we? What are we going to do? For simple things, this is awesome. But you need to make sure that your code will handle every breaking case. Probably need to have a try-catch in here somehow, in some way. And what if something unexpected happens? What do I do with the message? And so forth, right? In the future, most likely, you will be able to optionally say that I want my parameter to be a cloud queue message. And then probably a simple batch can hand you the whole message. And with that, you could go and say message.dequeueCount. And you would see if the dequeue count was just, well, this is the first time it's been dequeued, or it's 10. If you've tried to dequeue this thing 10 times and it doesn't seem to work, you know, maybe after a certain amount of times of tries, we should realize that this thing is now broken. This message can never be processed. We're trying and trying and trying, and you know, we're not insane, so we're not going to try 1,000 times. But right now, you can only get the message. You can get the message mapped onto a nice object for you. That's cool. But you can only get the actual message. You can't do anything more intelligently with the underlying messaging structure. But anyway, do you think that you could use this for something? I mean, where does this code run? Well, actually, it runs on my machine. But you would like it to run somewhere else, right? I told you in the beginning, and I said I'm going to come back to it, that this runs as a background process with your Azure websites. Okay? So we have a lot of time left. I'm going to show you where to deploy this thing and how to deploy this thing and you know, that part of it. Okay. We'll see where we are in the slides. I don't think we need to stay much, you know, for very long on this. On this slide, obvious reasons to do background processing. Just for the recording, we'll continue. Rich monitoring and diagnostics. Now we need to actually deploy something to be able to see that. Now I have this file new, very simple console web job that I wrote. I have that deployed in Azure. We need to go to Azure to get that. Go to the portal real quick. I have a nice demo account that I'm going to switch to. That one. Okay. So in here, I just deployed like an hour before this presentation. I was testing out this simple batch console app with the hello message type scenario, and I put it here. So if I click on web jobs there, this is where this guy lives, and now you can clearly see the green preview sign of web jobs, so that there can be no mistake that this is not production ready, but it's a start. Eventually, they'll probably charge you per usage on this thing, and that's kind of exciting as well. That when you, and that's another thing that we can actually comment on right now, the cloud service that I showed you, the more complex Azure cloud service instance, that runs 24/7 if you deploy it, and you pay for it 24/7. It might be that you have a lot of work going on all the time. And if you can get a CPU utilization up pretty high on that, you probably get really good value for your money, right? But if you're only doing processing on your obscure cake factory, that's probably not going to be the case that you have orders coming in 24/7. You wish, but that's not going to be the case. So in those scenarios, you might not want to pay for a full-blown server, virtual machine running continuously, checking the queue ever so often to see if there's a new message, and there never is, because nobody's ordering any cakes, right? But that's a good reason for choosing between a web job, which is included actually in your website, and a cloud service. Yes, this is now on shared CPU and shared memory and so forth. But you can move these. So let me comment more thoroughly on that. So this runs together with your website. Right now, this is deployed in a website slot. But I don't actually have a website in there. I could have a website there as well, but I don't. So you can run the web jobs alone. I'm sorry? It just starts the console app, exactly like when I hit F5 in Visual Studio, it does exactly that. It calls the main, and the main is supposed to have this job host, because if it doesn't, it's not going to work. And it stands there in the main forever, and then it obviously then the web job will inspect your code and see that, oh, there's a method there that I could run. You could have many web job methods in there. I don't only have one in my examples, right? You can have many in there. You can have many web jobs together in one deployment. So that's another thing that you could do. And you can also then if you need to know that you have your own resources and so forth, you can scale your website to, let's go to scale. You can scale your website. It deploys automatically in free mode. And then you can go and say, I want to do a shared basic or standard SKU here. The standard is the top-notch one. That's where your website will be on its own virtual machine instance, and you know how much CPU and RAM and everything you have on that box. It's just one thing running on there. So you could go there if you like. Then, of course, you need to pay for that. So, you know, finding a level which is suitable for your needs is always a great option, using auto-scaling and so forth to make sure that you're actually paying for what you use and not just overreaching to bigger instances than you need. You can also decide if you want to have a bigger box. So let's do a standard large 4-core, 7 gig of memory, and let's do, you know, 10 of those. So you can scale it up. And when I say 10 of those, there's going to be 10 identical ones. You would then effectively get 10 web jobs, all of them monitoring this queue at the same time. If you have a lot of orders coming in, you might need that. You know, lucky you if you have that great business, right?
Can it be automatically?
I'm sorry, what?
Can it be automatically?
The scale?
Yeah.
So the question is, can we scale automatically? Yes, you can scale. You can scale automatically by, for instance, CPU, and say, I'm okay with being somewhere between, you know, somewhere between 3 and 6 instances, and if the CPU is, you know, 95%, you know, somewhere over 80%, then scale and so forth, right? So you can set different types of scaling metrics in here for these guys, and basically scale out to your needs. So that answers the questions on scale, and it answers sort of, it doesn't answer where it is deployed or maybe how it is deployed. It says where it is deployed because it's I'm sorry?
A small website is always running.
A small instance.
A small website is always running.
Yep.
It's not shut down after
hour. The free ones will, but free web hosting is not for production. They will, you know, they will not be always on. There is always on, which you can get for these guys. I'm not going to save that many instances and so forth. You can, if you, so there's, let me see if I can remember even where that switch is. You have to actually go to at least shared, I think. Let's save that. I'm scaling my website to one shared instance rather than free mode. I'm not sure that shared has it.
Basic.
You need basic. Thank you, sir. Yes, yes. This keeps changing. So you need basic. That's another level. And if you want to know, you know, a lot more about exactly what's in the difference between a shared and a basic and so forth, you know, there's a lot of you can go and find here, read more. It's basically not part of this talk. So if you go and share it to basic, you can. Set somewhere. You probably know where always on is.
Yeah.
It's right now. Yes, there it is. Exactly. So always on is disabled, and if you set always on to enabled, then it'll be always on, and then your web job will be always on. Because if you have a queue, then you know, you need probably. Otherwise, yes. If the website is the sort of, you know, put on ice, removed from active service, then the same will happen to your web job, and then nobody will be monitoring the queue. And if you then have, you know, let's reach for something. If you then have a mobile app for ordering cake, the mobile app will try to call, or will probably put a message on the queue, and nobody's answering the queue. No orders are being processed. So there's the difference between those things. Cool. Great questions, you guys. I love the questions. Keep them coming. I know there's a lot of questions around this web job stuff. So I already uploaded a web job here. Now, you can do this inside of the portal like this. You can say, yeah, I want to go ahead and upload the actual web job into the portal. And it's really funny because what you do is you zip up the bin folder of your console app in a zip file and you upload it. And Azure takes it and unzips it and assumes that everything in there is a functioning web job and tries to run it. If it fails, if you did something wrong, then it's going to fail and you're going to get a message saying that something is really horribly wrong. And if you did everything correct, the basic stuff that I did there, it's going to fire it up and you're able to run it. Either you can run it, this one runs, it says right here, it runs. This one runs continuously. You can run them on a schedule, and you can run them on request. Say, I'd like to invoke the web job now, please. So you can choose which method you like. So continuously running is probably good if you have a queue input or something like that. So you're waiting for a message, and the web job is going to go back and check the queue continuously at some interval, which I actually don't know. How long that is, but you saw when I hit F5, it was pretty immediate that it came back in and said, oh, I got a new message for you. Right? Microsoft handles all that stuff on the back end. Great. So, if I now would like to upload one more, I simply just give it a name and browse for a file. I think I actually had... I'm going to show you the one that I uploaded just before the presentation. I have a folder for our code here. Might actually have been, I think I did a throwaway sample. I have a good folder here called throwaway samples that I use when I do very fast, quick and dirty stuff. This is my web job that I just this is the console app that I did. I just zipped up the whole folder. And looks like this. It's all the files that I have in there, just a zip file. And I could upload it again and so forth, and you'd see it deploy again, and you'd see another instance of this running here. So I said something about a dashboard where you can look at stuff. Now, I haven't had much luck with the dashboard lately. I can log into it, but I'm not sure we're going to be able to see a whole lot in there. There's a link right here. which I can click on, and then it asks me to log in. I was like, okay, well, how do I, okay. Well, right now, this is probably going to be a little bit easier later, most likely, but right now in the preview, what you need to do is you need to go to the dashboard and download the published profile. I'm going to open it. And in there, you'll find your credentials to get in. So it's a little bit involved right now, but you know, never mind. It's preview, did I mention? So we're going to reload, and we're going to get our password, super secret password, in there. And then we'll get in. So I'm guessing Microsoft will make this easier, because that alone is not simple. So here we have it, and again, there's not a lot in there. I can see the output of this thing, if it's running and so forth. So that's the standard out that I can see. I can write console messages and get them in here. Now I'd like to show you, I would have liked to show you some more stuff in here, but I can't find anything in here at all right now. Might be... Yeah, so this is Kudu. This is the sort of this is behind the scenes of Windows Azure websites now, or Microsoft Azure websites. And there we have the web jobs. It's actually, yeah, REST. That's the REST API. Okay. So I don't actually know that I can show you anything more in here. I can show you that there is a web job in there and that is running. It's supposed to be a lot more interesting stuff in here with the some metrics on the web jobs that have run and so forth. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that at this moment. I wish there was more, but generally speaking, what we're talking about here is, of course, you're going to be able to get graphs and how many iterations has this thing run, and you know, was how many of them were successful, and what are the failures, if any, and so forth. Because Microsoft Web Jobs is the Azure Web Job is calling your method, right? And if your method throws an exception, of course they have an exception trap outside of that, so they will log your error for you and take care of all, you know, show you the metrics of stuff that didn't work out as planned and so forth. Make sense? Good. I see a lot of heads nodding. Great. Or you're just nodding because you're really tired at the end of the day. It might be. I don't know. Now you're laughing too, so probably not laughing in your sleep. All right. It might be that we're approaching sort of the end here. Deploy with website. That's actually a good one. So uploading a zip file in the portal, that's cute. I'm going to show you where. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to show you that you could. Actually, there's a little add-on which you can use inside of the studio and say that I'd like to add a Windows Azure web job to my deployment of my website. And this is also, it's probably going to change a little bit. So continuous, and then I choose my web job, and I create a link, a deployment link between my website and my web job. And now that I deploy them, if I do that and I say I want to go and publish this guy to Azure, which I'm not going to do now, if I go through this publishing process and publish to Azure, the web job is going to publish with it. And also, of course, obviously then in future, the same thing if you use source control and continuous integration. Oh, which coincidentally I have a talk on tomorrow, continuous integration on Azure. So come and see that talk tomorrow. It's after lunch, some 1:15, I think. I'm going to go through a lot of scenarios doing continuous integration and delivery to Azure. So basically, when you check in your code or push your code, it goes into your source control, and a build agent will pick it up, build your code, and deploy. And obviously, then by the same logic, it would deploy the web job with it. So that's how you would do it. You know, normally you would have a new version of your website. Maybe you change something in the order entity, and you would probably want to redeploy your web job as well. And if you go and you know make a deployment of your website, you don't want your web job to get into trouble and so forth. So better to sync those guys up in these rather simple scenarios, at least, where you have like send an email or something. The good thing about the web jobs, obviously, is that it runs with your website. You can monitor your website and see the CPU and stuff like that on it, and you can scale on the metrics on the CPUs and stuff. And the good thing is that the web job hosting itself won't cost you anything extra because you're already running the website. And you could have written the code to run a thread on the back end, but you don't have to. You could write a simple web job, a simple batch, and just deploy it, and it'll just work. It'll just run. So it's kind of beautiful in that respect. There are some more things that you can do. I'm going to show. These are some sample stuff. Sample applications, sample web jobs that you can actually go and download. So I'm just going to show you that here they have something a little bit more complex. We're not going to go through that in detail and try to explain what it does. But literally, there are, it seems like, 5 web job methods in here defined. And they have inputs and outputs, a blob input, a queue input. So queue input without a parameter says that there's supposed to be a queue called persons. It expects a queue called persons. If you have a blob input with some parameters like that, you can get angle brackets in there, and you can get a file name and things like that in there. So you'll just pop in a file in a blob storage container, and the web job will monitor the container and see, oh, are there any new files in the container? And when there are, you know, like maybe your website uploads a picture that needs to be reformatted in some way or something like that. That picture might then be stored in blob storage, and you can have blob file inputs into your process as well. So you can see there it has a blob input of a text reader in this case. It's a file containing some text, and it's a blob input of a stream, if maybe it's a JPEG or something. So you define the type of your input as whatever you would like to read it as. You want to read it as text? Well, then you read the file as a text reader. You want to read the file as a stream? Sure, your parameter is a stream. So you can play around with this and create web jobs that do several steps of a process, for instance, right? It's all about how you input and output these things. And in order to learn that, you need to get into using queue inputs and outputs and so forth. And this actually, I think this might be... Well, let me see if I can see the table one. I didn't show you table. You can use Azure Tables as well. a table reference, in this case, just says table. And the words, this is something doing word count, I believe, in a text. The words there is a reference to a table, and that sort of is a little bit icky right now, but still is .NET objects and stuff that we could use normal things like a dictionary of tuples of string, comma, string. So these things are the strings are properties inside of your table. So you can, without using Azure Storage table and table entity and things like that, for those of you who have used Azure Storage, you don't need any Azure Storage skills in here. And a big point in here is, obviously then, that anybody could write this. You could be the resident Azure expert at your company, and other people who don't know anything about Azure can write a web job, because they can write the code that needs to be executed, and you can just show them in 5 minutes how they would then host that inside of a console app, and they'll just write the logic of it, and you'll be the guy who knows how to deploy it to Azure. And it actually can be set up to deploy automatically as well. But the people who interact with these web jobs, and that's the simplicity, the beauty of simplicity in this case, they don't need to know where to access Azure Storage and queues and tables and things like that. They just work with .NET objects. That's pretty powerful. I think we're at the end. That's cool, because we have some time to spare. And it's the last session of the day, so I'm perfectly fine with cutting it short and releasing you guys into the wild, into the Hague night with beer and things. And I want to thank you guys for being here. And again, if you want to stick around and talk about Azure with me, just come up and we'll talk after the session ends. That's great. And I'll be here tomorrow as well. You can catch me in the halls and we'll talk. I thank you for your... participation, great questions from everywhere in the room. So go and have fun, guys. Thanks.